Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC. What are you reading?
Just the Wall Street Journal. It's nothing. Oh, no. A PC, you know what?
Oh, it's a review of you.
Don't read it.
Oh, it's from Walt Mossberg, one of the most respected technology experts on the planet. Apparently, you're the finest desktop PC on the market at any price. Very nice.
Just one man's opinion.
I actually got a great review this morning, too.
Oh,
and they said I was awesome.
Good for you.
And so we're the same.
Yeah, what was that in?
The awesome computer review weekly journal.
Hello, and welcome to Podcast the Best 30 Plus Mid-App Conversation. You're going to hear all week long. Joining me today, he has lots of hair, every place a real man should. Buster Hein.
That is everywhere, basically. Yeah. There's nothing close, actually.
You're the exact opposite of Alex. Literally the exact opposite. Also joining us, he's always ready to toss back a few ales and hand out some knuckle sandwiches. Leander Caney is here. Do you miss the good old days when you used to just go out in the streets of London and just punch random people after a night of drinking, Leander? Do you ever just wish that you were back there able to do those things?
I used to take an umbrella with me so that people would call me effeminate and then I could have an excuse to fight them.
That's really funny. That reminds me of a totally unrelated story. I was hanging out with some kid in junior high, and he had one of those umbrellas with like the long tip on it. And I told him that I was taking like spearing lessons. So I told him, he had a huge backyard, and I told him to run, and I would get him with the umbrella. So he started running, and I chucked this thing at him. And he was probably like 30 yards away, and to my surprise, I hit him right in the leg.
Nice.
And he goes down, of course, and he starts crying, and his parents are mad at me. And I didn't even know it was possible to hit someone from that far away with one of those umbrellas. You know, it's like, I didn't know what I was doing.
You spared him.
Yeah, I showed that fool. He got speared good. He wasn't bleeding or anything. You know, it was like blunt, so the tip of the umbrella was blunt, but still. Anyway, okay, we got some nice morsels of show here for you guys. We're going to talk about some iPhone 8 rumors, and at the end of the show, if you stick around, we're going to be doing an all-new What We're Into, and this is where we pitch you stuff that we like, you know, just kind of off-the-radar stuff. We always talk about Apple News and reviews and how-tos and that kind of thing on this show. And every once in a while, we like to veer off and just talk about other stuff that we like that may have be of interest to you all. So stay tuned for that. We'll do that at the end of the show. Before we hop into it, let me do some housekeeping here. I want to say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Squarespace.com is where you need to go if you need a website. It's 2017. And if you're ready to make your next move in this new year, head on over to squarespace.com. They have websites that suit every single kind of website you might need. And they range from websites for creatives, for people with businesses, musicians, designers, artists, restaurants, and more. And I think what is most powerful about Squarespace is it's completely drag and drop. And yet, it's incredibly powerful. So you can build a website that looks completely custom, completely unique to yourself, unlike anyone else's who uses Squarespace. And that website will be scaled to fit on all the different devices that visit your website. So whether it be a mobile phone or a computer, your site's going to look great. And if you sign up for a year of service, you can get 20% off your Squarespace subscription, and then also you get a free domain name. And hooking up a domain name to Squarespace is one of the easiest processes I have ever gone through with a web host. And I've had those little moments time and time again with Squarespace. I have a lot of experience with web hosts, actually. And oftentimes, they're completely archaic, they're hard to use, and you have to be some type of IT professional to get things working. And Squarespace is like the Apple of web hosts. They make everything simple, easy to use, and you'll be able to manage it yourself, entirely by yourself, which will save you a ton of money on having to pay a developer. Check it out, squarespace.com. You can sign up for a free trial, build your next website, use it for 2 weeks, decide or see how you like it. If you decide to keep your service going after the trial, use code CULTCAST at checkout. You'll save an additional 10% off your first order. Squarespace.com, and the code is CULTCAST. Okay, quick mention before we get started on the news here, we have our 5-year showiversary coming up. Is that a word? Maybe not, but I just made it up. And you may use it as long as you attribute to me. We have our showiversary coming up. And we're going to be doing a live show, which I think will be two things. Probably a lot of fun and also a total cluster. And likely will end abruptly halfway through as we're talking and probably not come back for another 5 years, as has happened so many times in our live shows because they're completely out of control. And Leander gets wild. He'll probably be totally drunk, completely wasted.
I hope so.
And you all will see him broadcasting this Tidy Whities as he often does on the Cultcast each week. So it's just going to be a riotous good time. We're going to be announcing the dates soon. We haven't quite picked it yet. I think it's going to be February 23rd, perhaps. Or somewhere thereabouts. It's going to be at the end of the month. So we'll be announcing more information about that once we get a little bit closer. Although I guess we're pretty close right now. We should probably decide when we're going to be doing this, agents. But we haven't yet. Such is life. Okay. I stumbled across something this week that I thought you all might be interested in. And if you are interested in editing with Logic, if you're interested in editing videos with Final Cut Pro 10, this was a bonkers deal. Did you guys hear about this education discount Apple's giving?
No. What?
You didn't hear about this?
No.
Holy moly. I didn't even believe this was real until I went and checked it out. So Apple is offering students and educators, or the friends of students and educators, a massive discount on Final Cut Pro, Logic Pro 10, and more. For those of you who haven't purchased these apps before, Final Cut Pro 10, which just came out, it was just totally revamped, and it looks great, works well. It's my favorite video editing app. It's $300. Logic Pro 10 is $200. So those two apps alone, $500. You can, right now, on Apple's website, get those two apps plus Main Stage plus Compressor plus, I'm forgetting the third one, Motion, I think. So it's like $630 worth of software for $200 on Apple's website. I have a link to this in the show notes so you can check it out. And as I said, if you're not an educator, if you're not a student, you can probably find someone you know to get this for you. But I'm going to admit something to you guys, okay? I was just curious. I was honestly just curious if they would check to see if you are actually one of these things. So I went on the website. I put it in my cart, and I went into my cart, and it was like, this works fine.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I wonder if they'll let me check out. So I go through the checkout process, and it's $200, and the whole thing goes through fine. There's no verification or anything. And then the next day, they sent me an email with a PDF attached, and in the PDF were all my serial numbers for all my different products. So I don't know if they're like not verifying this.
No, they don't. So I was laughing because I just did the same thing when I bought a MacBook Pro. Like, I'm not a college student, but I used the education discount.
I wonder how much they actually verify that stuff.
Well, are you supposed to have an ADU email address?
No, you don't have to have anything. You just have to go through the education store. That's it. They used to ask you what your, like, it used to be, I've bought a few things in the past where they asked you to show your student ID or your EDU address. Now they don't care. They just, if you're a student or a teacher, then you qualify, or somebody like related to education. So it's
but you also qualify if you're like on the school board, or if you volunteer at the school.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of ways to volunteer, or if you write
for cultaback.com and you educate people on how to do how-tos. I'm an educator. Yeah.
I have been educated at certain points in my past. Does that qualify me for a discount?
I like to dress up in a school uniform at the weekend.
I dress up in a school uniform and I go out to parties. Does that count?
Right, at Halloween and stuff.
I went to the education store before too, and all they did was ask me, well, where's your college located? And I give them the name. They're like, is this the one? Yes. Congratulations. You're now in the education store.
Good job.
So it's been a while since I've tried that, but I wonder if Apple just doesn't verify if you're in education or not.
No, they do not.
I mean, clearly.
Pro tip. If you want like $200 off on a MacBook. Just go through the education store.
Well, no, it's not just $200 on the machine, though. They give you discounts on all the upgrades, too.
Yeah.
So the memory's cheaper. The CPU is cheaper. Everything's cheaper. I mean, shoot, if you can get a discount, if you can get an education discount, it's definitely a nice way to go. And then, of course, if you buy it with your Discover card, a lot of people don't know this, and I hate bringing it up because I don't like promoting credit card companies, but Discover card gives 5% back on all Apple purchases if you go through their web portal. So then you get another 5% back. And then if you move to Oregon and have it shipped there, then you're really saving the ducats, eh, Gov? Uh-huh. As they say, as no one says in Great Britain. I got my software, and I'm like, dude, $200 for $600 worth of software. I do feel a little guilty.
Isn't that stuff, you know, it's going to be, it's end of life, though, isn't it? Some of those pro apps, they're not developing them anymore.
No, those ones, they're all still developing. Okay. Actively, yeah. Logic and Final Cut, those are their audio and video editing apps. And, I mean, they discontinued Aperture a while ago. But shoot, if you're still using Aperture, yeah, you have no chance of that being updated. Besides, Lightroom is better in a lot of ways anyway. But yeah, $200 is just a crazy deal. So just a word to all our listeners, if you qualify for that, even if you don't and you think you might in the future, or I was going to say, even if you don't think you'll use it, but you might in the future and you can get the discount, I would buy it because $200 is a crazy deal. Let's talk about drama for your mama at the spaceship campus, Lander. There's just some serious drama. It's like a reality show over there, isn't it? Johnny Ives arguing with people about exit signs.
Right.
What's happening?
Well, there was a story this week from Reuters that talked about the new spaceship campus, which, you know, the speculation is that they're going to start moving in 14,000 employees this spring. So, but there's been a ton of delays, and most of it has to do with Apple's complete and utter finickiness about all the interior fixtures. Everything has to be perfect inside and out, and especially, you know, even stuff you don't see. So this story was describing how...
like the rebar inside the concrete.
Right, exactly. The rebar, it has to be polished like a diamond. Well, they were saying that literally, like, you know, some of the pipe work and the duct work, you know, it they were afraid that you might be able to see it, even if you couldn't see it from the floor, you know, you might be able to see a reflection of it in the window. So that had to be covered up, and everything has to be... They wanted all the doorways to be these absolutely super precise tolerances, like iPhone tolerances. You know what a tolerance is, right? That's the gap between different components.
Yeah, right.
And so, like, in most construction, it's like an eighth of an inch. You know, like a doorway. You know, a door is not going to fit exactly into the doorway. There's going to be like an eighth of an inch gap. And that's a good idea, you know, because if in atmospheric conditions, you know, different materials expand and contract at different rates. You know, you can't make a door that will fit precisely into a doorway because, you know, if it's a rainy day and things start to expand, you know, you might not be able to close that door anymore. But Apple apparently wanted this, and they wanted doors to be completely flat so you couldn't even see the door, like a magic Tolkien door. and there was a really funny story about this door handle. They were trying to design the door handles for all of the conference rooms, the toilets, the bathrooms, the kitchens. And they spent, I think, you know, months and months on this door handle, making it perfect.
On a door handle?
On a door handle. They handed it to one of the members of the design team, and he was turning around in his hands, and he was feeling it and smelling it and, you know, rubbing it up against his cheek and then putting his licking it, you know. And
But with only the very tip of his tongue, right?
Right, exactly. And with the very tip of his tongue, he said he felt a bump.
The variance is in its smoothness.
Yeah, there was a bump, and so they were flabbergasted, right? That the people that fabricated the door handle, so they took it back and they ran it through all of these super precise tests. You know, they got these calibration tools on it, and there was no bump. There's no bump, but nonetheless, Apple wouldn't budge. They said, no, you know, this thing isn't perfect, and apparently they went back and it's still hasn't been finalized. It's been like 18 months now, according
on
to the story.
One doorknob.
It's completely bonkers, yeah. So they said that, you know, that there was this thing, I think, is already 2 years behind, right? When they announced this in 2011, they said they were going to be moving in maybe in 2015. So
I don't remember that. Did they say that it was going to be that soon?
At least in the story, that's what they were saying. In the story, they said it was like the original date was 2015. But they've already gone through two different general contractors. So the two of the main contractors actually quit.
Oh, really?
And they didn't say, no one will say why.
Too demanding?
But, you know, that's the implication. Yeah.
Probably. You got to think, this is Johnny Ives' baby now. He doesn't work on any of the iPhones or the computers or anything, right? He's just designing doorknobs and desks for the Apple HQ.
Yeah. And polished concrete ceilings and stuff
like that. Exactly. This has the full focus. And imagine how particular he's got to be about all this kind of stuff.
It's very, very particular. When I interviewed one of the members of the design team, Douglas Satsky, for my book about Johnny Ive, you know, a few years ago, and I went to his house down in the peninsula, you know, near Palo Alto. And they just moved in. And he was telling me about the construction of the house and, you know, how he'd overseen it. And how everything had to be perfect. And so when they did the sheetrocking, he came in at night with with some powerful lamps, and he put the lamps at the base of the wall and shone it up the wall. And so if there was any variation in the surface of the sheetrock, it would throw up a shadow, you know. So this is a way he could see whether it was perfectly flat or not. And he went round and he said that almost on every single surface in the house, he circled with a marker, you know, where the sheetrock wasn't perfect,
oh
where the mud
gosh.
hadn't been perfectly sanded down. And he said when they came in the next day, you know, like that his the crew, the contractor was so pissed off, he punched a hole in the wall, kicked a hole in the wall. But he made them go back and do it again. It took him weeks. He said that, you know, and they'd never seen anything like it. But he said, you know, if you're going to do something, you do it right. And this is the mentality of these folks. You know, like if it's going to be, if they say it's going to be flat, it's going to be flat.
I agree with that sentiment. I do. But on things that count, for instance, why do you care if there's a couple bumps in your gypsum in your wall? Who cares? Well, you're never going to notice it.
If you shine a lamp on it.
Then
you won't be able to look at that wall ever again. You know, it'll just drive you crazy.
But, you know, but then the house settles and the walls shift and the wall's not going to be even anymore anyway. It's an impossibility. You can't get it to be perfect. Perfect gypsum is not for this world. Maybe in the afterlife you'll have perfect gypsum in your walls.
A buddy of mine here in San Francisco, he's a high-end general contractor, and he's been doing some work for some of the Apple, some other Apple designers here in the city on their own personal houses. And he won't say who, but he said that, you know, one of them is, he said there's all this, I think the term is zero drafting, but everything has to line up. So he said all the cabinets, the doors of the cabinets have to line up with the cracks in the kitchen surfaces, the kitchen countertops. If there's any joints in the kitchen countertops, but then they have to, that also has to line up with the cabinets underneath, and then also the cracks in the tiling of the floor. And then the cracks in the tiling of the floor line up with the joints between the floorboards, the hard oak, the hardwood flooring in the main room, which line up with the cracks in the window panes, which line up with the sprinklers in the backyard,
jeez,
which line up with the panels of the fence. And he said it's insane. It all lines up. And he showed me a picture of this place, and it's all sort of pure white. It's all sort of kind of, all the walls are perfectly white, and the floors are sort of like plain, hardwood floors. It's very unadorned. And I'm like, this is crazy. You know, like it looks so sterile. It looks like a museum. And he said, yeah, that's exactly how they want it, because, you know, when you fill it with objects, the house disappears and your attention is drawn to the objects they put inside it.
So
they have a nice piece of art.
Crap that you hang all over the wall, the cheap tchotchkes.
Well, they don't. You know, they have high-end art and high-end sculptures and high-end, you know, like furniture. The idea of the house has disappeared. But he said that it is so much work to try to get all this stuff exactly perfect. And he said they're extremely exacting, extremely, extremely exacting. And I said, well, doesn't this drive you barmy? And he said, no, they're the best clients to work for, because they, if anything's not right, they don't care. They'll spend the money to get it put right. They don't argue. They don't nickel and dime. They'll spend any amount of money to make sure this stuff's perfect. And they understand that the manufacturing process too. So they're not, you know, they don't throw a fit. They're quite reasonable to work with, even though they're very demanding.
Because they know high quality costs money.
Right, exactly. And it's difficult to do.
And plus, these guys have to be millionaires, aren't they? I mean, the guys...
Oh, yeah.
Like, how much do you think the guys on the industrial design team earn? Do you have any idea?
At least, you know, three... I think they start at three, 400,000. So they probably earn, you know, somewhere like $500,000 in salary. But it's all the stock options they get.
Exactly.
You know, they get options and stock every year. And they've all been there for about 20 years or more. So they got stock back when it was, you know, cheap.
$300,000 or $400,000 a year doesn't even seem like it's that much money for what they do.
I think that's just the base salary. It's like, yeah. You know, Tim Cook. What is Tim Cook's base salary? Like $700,000 or something like that?
Uh-huh.
But, you know, he just cashed out. Every few months he cashes out several million dollars worth of stock.
Plus, if you hold stock longer than a year, I think it's taxed at the capital gains rate, which is, what, is it 15%?
15%.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I think, yeah.
So
yeah.
These guys basically pay, and they don't have to pay a payroll tax on that. So you save, you know, the additional Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, whatever else, other taxes they charge on that. So these guys are saving themselves a bundle by getting paid in stock. Yeah, they've got to be millionaires for the type of high-caliber work that they do. And plus, you know, I'm sure Apple wants to make sure they're not lured away by Huawei, you know, to go design the next design the next rip-off Android phone. So they got to keep them happy. Do you know if they're hiring Leander?
Well, they did. They just hired the design director from Wired, Billy Sorrentino.
They did?
He went out... Well, I'm not sure if he went onto the main design team, but he's working in some design capacity over at Wired, and I think they have hired a couple of new people. I don't know who they are, but they want to keep it small. You know, they don't want their team to get diluted. Samsung has what, 1,500 designers or something like that in their design center.
No way, is it that high?
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. They have like you know, an army of designers.
That is unbelievable. I find that unbelievable.
Well, they're doing also, but look at Samsung, does TVs, washing machines, you know, it does heavy industrial stuff, it does, you know, phones. I mean, they do a lot of things, so.
I guess across the breadth of all the products portfolio. They make a lot of stuff, you're right.
Right.
I mean, they literally make everything. They make everything that you could possibly buy for your house, they make it. They probably have Samsung doorknobs, but they're not nearly as exacting. They haven't been tongue tested.
Right.
With only the tip of your tongue.
That's right.
That's crazy. That's right. I'm endlessly fascinated by the industrial design team, actually, because it's so secretive. It's like the Illuminati. It's like, you know, they're out there, but you don't know how they work. Yeah. You just know that they're controlling everything.
Yeah.
Globalists. They're globalists. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about iPhone 8. We got some rumors to run through. The first one being, this is good news. If you ask me, this is great news. All three of the iPhones are going to have wireless charging, according to...
Ming-Chi Kuo, I believe it is.
Is it Ming-Chi Kuo? Okay, yeah. Thank you. That means that they will all have wireless charging. You're not going to get shorted if you end up going for the smaller of the iPhones. The only thing this doesn't say, though, is if wireless charging is going to be the kind that beams the wireless, you know, power across the room, or if it has to be laid on one of those pads. You know, honestly, I think I would be happy with either.
No, it's not
going to
be a pad.
Yep.
No.
You don't
no,
think
no.
it'll be a pad?
Listen how disgusted he sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're hopeless and horrible.
Are they?
Although I guess that's what the Apple Watch uses, but...
They're slow.
It's going to be even slower if it's wandering around. But the, you know, the stuff that was rumored, you know, from that the company whose name I completely forget, you know, it was supposed to be you could wander around a room and it would beam the pad, you know, very very precisely to it and follow you around as you walked around.
That's right. Right into your iPhone Flying. And into your jewels.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. It comes between you and the.
That's
and
right.
The
Not only will your iPhone be charged, it will be totally sterile. As will you. I have to say, I am a little concerned about that. About
a little bit,
shooting,
right?
Yeah. I'm
if
gonna have to start
powerful
wearing.
Powerful enough to charge an iPhone, it's got to be powerful enough to do something to my nards.
For sure.
You know, it might give you cancer. Who knows? It could be. I don't know.
Who knows what it'll do to you, man? I mean, that's why
you better go down the bank and make a deposit.
There you go. There you go.
Put it in the freezer for later. Yeah.
That's why you got to start wearing my new line of lead-lined underpants, the Coulter pants, the best underpants you're gonna wear all week long, guaranteed to bounce back at least 200 rads of radiation. Yeah, that does make me a little bit nervous. And no matter how high polished the presentation is of Johnny Ive explaining how this works and totally will not fry your nards, I'm still going to be concerned about it. I wonder how many other people will be as well.
That's a good point. I think that's going to be a big sticking point, isn't it? Selling that to people, you know, people are going to be terrified of it.
I'm even a little worried about having like as much Wi-Fi in my house as some of these routers now put out.
Yeah,
like, you know, those mesh networks, man, they just pump your air full of radio waves, and I just don't think that kind of thing could be good for you.
Well, I think it's been scientifically proven that it's absolutely harmless.
but if it wasn't, isn't that what they'd tell you?
Right.
That's exactly what they would hire some scientist to tell you exactly that. And they
but you remember when the iPhone came out, there was all that brain cancer, you know, fears,
yeah.
And you know, there's no evidence that it does cause anything like that.
No, there's not. But, of course, if someone actually could prove it, that person would be murdered and dumped in the dust within a week.
Right. But it does bring out the tinfoil hat, so
for sure,
I mean,
for sure, that one actually might bring out my tinfoil hat. That one's a little bit scary. Unfortunately, there's also some reports that these new features, the wireless charging, and then the reported OLED display, which maybe coming to just one of the iPhones. We're not sure if it's going to be one or all of them. Is going to raise the price of the iPhone, well, at least the top tier iPhone, to more than $1,000. It's already pretty close to $1,000, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like
I think it's like 980
something.
Or something.
Yeah, for like the 256, yeah. Whatever.
I would imagine though now that most people don't get the higher end iPhone with like the higher amount of storage, because before, if you only had your choice of 16, 32, or 128 gigs of storage, 128 is really not that much. But now that the 128 is the mid-tier option, that's fine for most people, I think.
Yeah.
How much storage do you have on your phone, Buster?
128.
Do you ever fill it? Are you
yes,
close?
It's currently totally full. So I either need to upgrade iCloud. Dude, so many photos. Like, my photo library is gigantic. Yeah.
That is crazy. Yeah. 128 gigabyte photo library just photos?
It's probably like 40 gigabytes as photos, but then all the other apps, you know.
Jeez, dude.
Plus Spotify and music and
all that stuff. Yeah.
That can't
thinking.
Take up that much. It must be photos and videos.
It's mostly photos and videos because I do a lot of photos and videos.
Okay, the video, that's what I was curious about. The videos, for sure, the 4K videos are ridiculous.
Yeah, I've
stopped. They take up so much space.
And I've stopped shooting 4K video. Instead, I just shoot a lot of slow-mo video, which also takes up a lot of space.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, because it's, 240 frames per second, so, yeah.
So it's just a lot more information.
Right.
Interesting, I never really thought about that. And then you're doing it in 1080?
Yeah.
And you don't care that you're losing all that 4K crispiness, you know, once 4K stuff.
Not really,
because
who's got a 4K TV? Even if I have it on my MacBook Pro, it's still not going to be total 4K. So a lot of people just don't have the technology to take advantage of it. And you're looking at it on your iPhone a lot of the times, too. So 1080p, like a lot of the best YouTubers still just do 1080p unless they're just obsessive, like Jan Olsen or something, you know.
You might want to future-proof it, though.
I know. That's the only reason why you want to do it, yeah.
True, but I don't know. I think, like, all content is temporal at the same time. Like, the content is going to be viewed in the moment a lot of the time more than it is going to be in the future, you know? Like, you're going to view it in the future, too, but only for nostalgic reasons instead of, like, currently. So
that's a very profound point.
Yeah, just saying.
True, very true.
I've just altered my universe, man. That's true. You're right. Because how many people actually go back and watch the old videos on a YouTube channel?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
No one does that ever. It's like
2 to 3 years
only
is
in the
max.
Now do you
yeah.
care.
Right. So, totally. Like, totally. You know, it's not gone with the wind. You're not going to want to remaster it in 80 years and hope, damn, I would just shot that in 4K, you know? So
that's right. In 80 years, you'll be dead. Anyone that knows you will be dead.
And I'll be stoked.
And everybody else just won't care.
If anybody knows me and is watching any shit that you do, like, in 80 years, like, dude, you made it, like, on that crappy setup. So I don't know. I just say use the tools you got. Like, whatever's
even
most efficient.
Really super famous people. I mean, the most famous people in the world.
Do you think,
you know, 50 years ago, no one even knows who they are anymore.
Right. Do you think people are going to be like viewing Casey Neistat in 50 to 100 years?
Hell
maybe some
no.
of like
yeah.
his top videos or whatever. And then like the technology of the time is kind of going to make that whole video quaint and appealing. Like, oh, that was the best of the time. You know, that's why you would view it.
Well, you probably want it to be. You know, it's like going back and looking at old Super 8 films or videotape. You know, it looks better in that format,
right.
Degraded.
Because that was the technology of the time.
It really, yeah, it puts it in its time, doesn't it? Yeah. It looks strange if it was really crystal clear and high def.
Right.
That's weird, though, isn't it? Because everyone growing up today is going to have their life documented in 4K or more, or 1080p or something. Like, the pictures of us when we were younger, they're all yellow and gross, and they have stains.
I know, but this
doesn't
look old-fashioned. When everything's like a 3D hologram, like, you know, a VR simulation, it's going to be, you can look at these pictures, you go 4K, oh my God,
yeah.
I can't look around and see what's going on around me, you know.
It's going to be kind of eerie if you're 60 and you can look back on your childhood in 4K.
Yeah.
Because if you've never seen a 4K picture before, for those of you that haven't, it's surreal. It looks so real. It's actually almost hard to look at. You can see like every little hair and stuff on people's faces. It's almost too much. You're like, I don't really actually want to see that much detail in most people's faces. It's a little bit overboard.
Right.
It's a little too much HD. But at this point, there's no view, there's no way, as you said, to even view 4K anyway. Even if you are taking all these 4K videos, as I do, because I like to document, you know, like friends and family and stuff, like all with 4K, because I want to be able to watch the stuff in 4K eventually. But right now, Apple doesn't give you a way, unless you have a 4 or 5K iMac, to even watch that stuff in 4K. So, and by that I mean you can't stream it over your Apple TV to your actual television, because the Apple TV only does 1080p, and that's where you want to watch all that stuff anyway, right? I mean,
yeah.
You don't want to watch that stuff on your computer. So the price may be going up, and that might be it. Well, in no small part related to Apple switching to OLED, which will probably not come out on all the different iPhone models. And there's a report that there's going to be three different screen sizes, three different iPhone models, a 5.8-inch, a 5.5-inch, and a 4.7-inch. But it's unclear exactly what Apple's going to do at this point. 5.8 and a 5.5 seems a little odd, doesn't it? That's a little bit too close in size.
Yeah, the weird thing about this report was it referred to the smaller models as iPhone 7 iterations and then the larger one as an iPhone 8. So that was the thing that confused me about that report about the iPhones. So I don't know. The iPhone 8 will cost $1,000 and the other ones will be something else. One thing I was thinking is maybe the smaller iPhone is like the SE type model now, and then the 5.5 maybe is the base model for the next gen or something. I don't know. It sounds weird.
That makes sense. I could see them doing that. They're definitely going to want to keep a smaller size. But with the SE currently being, it's 4 inches, right? The SE, because it's the same size as the iPhone. And that phone is selling so well. I don't envision them getting rid of that size.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I mean, what's Alex Heath going to do? He's going to have to switch to Android.
Oh, his little Donald Trump.
He can't hold anything 4 inches.
Yeah, go.
Donald Trump. There's a lot of people out there with dainty hands like Alex Heath. And they need to have an accessible phone, too. You can't hand them a huge iPhone 6 Plus. I mean, what is he going to do with it? He's going to have to wear, like, a strap of some kind to keep it so that he can hold it stabilized or something. So I think they're going to have... they're going to have a smaller size. I don't see them going away from the SE, but we'll see what they do. It is curious what they're going to name it. And this is one question, Buster. You and I have gotten this on Twitter like at least three times in the last 2 weeks. I don't know why all of a sudden people are curious about this, but we always refer to the new iPhone as the iPhone 8. And a lot of people are asking us, why do we keep referring it to as the iPhone 8? Wouldn't it be the 7S?
It would. But there's so many rumors that because this is the 10th anniversary of the iPhone, there's going to be huge updates. It might get a new design that Apple would want to break from the 7 and just call it something all new. So iPhone 8 or iPhone X or iPhone 10 might make more sense. But, you know, maybe they'll just call it the 7S. Who knows?
They probably will end up calling it the 7S. Yeah. Although I think they should switch to just whole numbers. They should just start going iPhone 7, 8, 9, 10 and move away from the S year. Because what's the point of the S? The original point of the S was to signify that it was faster.
Yeah.
And that it was going to be on a faster network. And now there's no reason to use the S. It's just we're all using LTE. There's no reason to say it's, you know, speedier. Of course it's speedier. Everyone expects that. Let's just move on to whole numbers.
Yeah.
Hear, hear.
Agreed. But I don't know.
Lose, Leander.
I
No, sorry, okay. I was looking at something.
I almost think they should drop the numbers or something. I don't know, because eventually, you know, it would be like this year would be the iPhone 10, and then you're going to be like the iPhone 23 in like 5 years or, you know, however long. And I don't know. The number is just, I hate numbers on the end of devices. Like, just call it iPhone, and this is this year's iPhone, like the 2017 iPhone or something like that. Simplify it.
I hate that.
You hate that?
I hate you for recommending that.
Sorry.
You know, they did that with the iPad, and it just made it so damn confusing. You never knew which iPad you were talking about.
What are you talking about? Like, the MacBook Pro. Like I have the 2015 MacBook Pro early, and sometimes if, like, they come out with 2 in 1 year, it's like one is the early model of 2015 and one's the, you know, and like or whatever, mid or
which I find to be incredibly confusing. And it's such mushy, gross nomenclature, naming conventions. I hate that they do that because they say, oh, well, this MacBook came out early 2015. And for the average person, that doesn't mean anything to them. They're like, oh, was there another one that came out in 2015? Or it makes it hard to know where your product exists in the current ecosystem of products. Like, I think it's much more succinct just to say, I have iPhone 7. Although they don't say MacBook 10, do they?
No, exactly.
They just call it MacBook. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
They should call it the MacBook MCP X3.
That's what I hate more than anything, is like the different, you know, letters and numbers mixed together to, like, you know, differentiate. This one has 8 gigabits of RAM, but this one has 16. Like, oh.
Right, but then
at least they don't do that.
That's exactly what you... At least you'll know exactly what you got, you see?
Oh, right. Spoken like a true engineer, yeah.
How are you supposed to know how much RAM you have?
No, I got the iPhone 7 with 256 gigabytes, like, whatever.
Well, car nerds do that, don't they? All the cars, you know.
True,
the
yeah.
Car, you know, and they love that kind of stuff because it tells you exactly what you got.
Yeah.
You mean with the car, like the car name itself?
The car name, plus, well, like, I got the, you know, the X... You know, you know, you got like the SE model or the XL,
like the
model,
Lariat, you know. Bighorn edition.
Exactly, like the Big Ranch F-150 or something, or whatever they do for that. Like, they have all kinds of different editions for, like, I have a Fiat Sport, and there's the Pop and the Gucci and, like, all kinds of different models. Like
the Fiat Gucci. Yeah. I don't know about that one. I don't know if I want to get inside that one.
They really got that.
All right, well, I think we've sufficiently gone off track. That's all the iPhone 8 rumors we have, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's it. This is a slow time of year for news. I mean, we're working it here, guys. You have no idea. We're sorting through all the cruft and bringing you what's essential, but there's just not a whole lot happening this time of year. So that's why we are able to do fun segments to kind of beef up the show, put in some fiber, if you will. And as long as we're going into the fiber, I'm talking about fiber. I don't know why I brought up that analogy. It really makes no sense whatsoever. But let's go into what we're into, the last segment of the show. This is the segment where we talk about the other stuff that's not Apple-related that we're currently into. It could be literally anything. It could be your favorite movie, a show that you watched, a sunset that you saw that made you quite emotional, Leander, or whatever you want.
Okay.
Does anyone want to go first?
Leander,
do you got something weird for us?
Well, it's not that weird. I've really gone into this TV show from the UK called The Detectorists. The Detectorists.
Okay, do tell.
And it sounds like it's a, you know, crime show, crime pub, yeah. But it's not. It's about metal detectors. These two guys.
Oh, God. Well, now you got my detectors. Ear. Please continue.
It's by Mackenzie Crook. Do you know? Yeah, you might not recognize his name, but you definitely would recognize the actor. He was in the original British Office.
Oh yeah,
as the
I
sort
see.
Of
yeah.
the dweeby sidekick.
And he was also in Pirates of the Caribbean.
He's that right. Real skinny, quirky blonde guy, right?
Yeah, with the bulgy eyes. Yeah. So he wrote and produced and directed this, and it's on Netflix, and there's two series. It's only like about six half hour shows in each series. So it's pretty easy to watch. You can definitely watch a series in an evening, and it's very low key. You know, nothing really dramatic happens. It's sort of about these two guys, you know, hanging out in fields with their metal detectors, but it's really, really charming, and it's really funny. Like, some of it is super funny, laugh out loud funny. But
as funny as two guys in a field with metal detectors can be.
Yeah, yeah. Well, his sidekick is Toby Jones, who is a genius. He is a fantastic actor. He starred as Truman Capote in one of the in a movie that came out the same time as the Philip Seymour Hoffman came out. What was it called?
And he was in Harry Potter,
right?
Yeah.
He was Dobby.
Was he in Harry Potter?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, right. He was Dobby. The sound of Dobby. Yeah, but he's really great. I highly recommend it. I thought it was super super charming. Even I showed it to my mom, and my sons were there, and I didn't think that my sons would like it, but my one son's really obsessed with the show. He went and watched the whole second season. He's like an 18-year-old. So
the Detectorists.
Yeah, the Detectorists. Highly recommend.
I've come to realize every time we do one of these segments, one of the things I've learned is Leander Keeney may have left England, but the England never left you, Leander.
Never.
Every time you pitch one of these things, it's something super obscure, weird thing that only people in England would like.
Yeah, some British culture.
And you're sitting there eating one of those weird, like, what are those called? Tally doodles, those chocolate swirly things, swirly whirls. Something
curly
else.
Whirly.
Curly whirlies, yeah. You're sitting there eating your curly whirly, watching the Detectorists. It's great. You get a dose of British culture every time you listen to this show. Okay, Buster, what do you got?
It's also another TV show that is on Netflix.
Yeah, I got one too.
I haven't actually watched this show all the way through, so I can't vouch for the whole thing, but I've watched like the first 2.5 episodes, and it's pretty good, called The OA.
The OA?
I just heard about it recently because there's so much hype about it. And it was actually really good. I'm super intrigued about it. It's about this girl, she's like, I don't know, early 20s, mid 20s, and she's been missing for 7 years and just all of a sudden shows up and has all these weird marks on her back and has this ability to, like, I don't know, touch people, like physically touch people and make them her friends or something like that. She has some crazy abilities. She's like a secret Russian covert spy. I don't even know because I'm only 2 episodes in, and so I'm not spoiling anything.
But it's got you hooked.
Yeah, super hooked. Like, I'm so stoked to be home today so I can watch some more episodes of the OA tonight. Like, so far it's like super good. So, I mean, if you get past episode 4 and it sucks, let me know so I don't waste my time.
How do you even find out about this stuff? You guys are always watching
stuff. That was everywhere.
Like, I heard a couple of friends talking about it on Facebook, and I've heard about it for a couple months now, or weeks, and I finally just started watching it like last week, and it was actually
Never heard of it.
It's kind of hard to get into, actually, and I think that's the thing about all really good shows that I've watched is the first episode, it's kind of like laying the foundation for how you're supposed to watch this show. And if it's a good show, a lot of times, like, it's kind of off the beaten path and a little bit more difficult to get into. But yeah, so far it's been really good.
Dan, you know what show had a great first episode? Was Breaking Bad.
See, okay.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, and it was great. But even then, I wasn't super into Breaking Bad after the first episode. Like, it still took me a couple episodes to get... I mean, it was an awesome episode because a dude in his tidy whities goes from a teacher
to the desert of Winnebago.
Like, it is like, what the hell is going on? But that was great about Breaking Bad was, like, each episode, like, was, like, it's captivating at the beginning, you know, but it was kind of a different format from other shows, really.
Yeah, definitely. It had that big, meaty question mark that they just laid out right at the very start, and you're like, what the hell is going on? And they would answer later in the episode.
And so if you weren't patient, it didn't pay off.
All right. Well, to wrap up, I'm gonna offer you guys up something that you've probably all seen, but it took me up until this last weekend to actually finally watch
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld. Oh yeah, I just finally started episode 1. That show's crazy. What's it about? No, the movie that I just watched for the first time is called 10 Cloverfield Lane. We've talked about this on past shows. Have you guys seen it?
I recommended it in a previous, what we're into. I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Okay, so I took your recommendation. I finally went and watched it. That's right, you did, because we ended up talking about the director, who is a guy that I met several times. He used to host a podcast that I used to watch all the time, and he always used to want to be a director. And then he used to run the movie segment of this podcast that I would watch. And then one day, mysteriously, he was like, I can't talk about movies anymore. And you're like, what? Like, that's why this guy's on this podcast. He's the movie expert. And then you later found out that he had inked a deal with J.J. Abrams to direct 10 Cloverfield Lane. Mm-hmm. And so he'd finally gotten his big break. He couldn't talk about it. And he couldn't make fun of other movies anymore because he was entering the movie business. And he didn't want to shoot himself in the foot. So anyway, I finally saw this movie. And oh my gosh. I was so stressed. For 75% of this movie, I was practically watching through the crack in my fingers over my eyes. Really? That movie stress you out? I could barely handle it. I had to pause it like 10 times.
Yeah. The best part about it is you don't even realize that it's related to the other movie, you know? I loved it. It was great.
Does it take place in like the exact same universe?
Right, yeah. And they're going to do other movies in the same universe too that are kind of like that are, you know, kind of stand for themselves but are like related to the...
I don't know if it actually is related to that, though.
It is. It's totally related.
I heard the premise was like the Cloverfield movies are going to be like the Twilight Zone, where they're kind of strange, kind of eerie, unexplained phenomenon, and every one is going to stand on its own legs, and they exist within that genre, but they may not
but
be
not the same
content.
Okay, so they're not in the same universe, but they're... Yeah. Okay, that makes sense, too.
Right?
I dig that.
So you saw it, too, then, Buster.
Yeah, I saw it. It was really good. Yeah, and I think that was John Goodman was great in that movie.
He was fantastic in that movie. Super creepy. Yeah. And you're never really sure exactly who is telling the truth in that movie.
Yeah.
And then you get to the end and you're like, whoa, what?
Not what I was expecting.
What? No, I'm cutting that out. I'm cutting that out, jerk. Yeah. Major spoiler. Yeah. Man, if you haven't seen that movie yet, go check it out. It is great, especially if you like creepy movies that don't really reveal everything to you throughout.
Suspenseful movies,
so good. Yeah, super suspenseful movie, too. Alrighty, well, I think that's it. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. If there's a show or a movie that we're missing that you think we absolutely need to see, reach out to us on Twitter, won't you? I'm at Airfawn, Buster's BST3R. Leander is L. Caney. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys and gals. We'll see you next time.
That was the most muted next time I think I've ever heard.
Should I redo it?
No. Do it how you like it. I like it, yeah.
Next time! No wait, I can do better.
Okay.
Oh, that was smooth? Okay. Well, I'm going for smooth. That's kind of my character.
All right.
Gotcha. I thought you were going the other direction. So do you have to wear your special underpants when you go there?
I burned all of those, bro.
Did you actually burn them? Because they'd be good for like hiking and stuff or real cold weather, aren't they?
No,
I mean, they do function in that way.
I wear spandex when I hike because I need to keep everything tight and you know
I can't think of a visual that would make me happier than that. Just some straight up
Buster
short
and spandex.
That's even better than you in jean shorts. It's just you out there.
If you play your cards right, Airfawn. This weekend, I'll probably be in some spandex. So,
I call Caboose. Where's the link? Where's the
Let's
link
get this
at?
Trade going. Come on, Leander.
That's right. Where's Leander
on tight schedule.
Give me the cargo car.
My God.